on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Holden, Colorado, LTZ. For a limited time, get 3 years free scheduled servicing. And Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au. RTO 3935.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome. Happy Monday, everyone. Sam McClure with you on Time On up until 7 o'clock. Mitch McGovern, the man whose brother has been in the headlines all weekend to join us, the Adelaide Young Star forward, of course, re-signed at the end of last year, missed the grand final with a hamstring injury. There is so much to talk to Mitch McGovern about. He's going to join us in a matter of minutes. But first, well, with 4 matches into the pre-season and the AFL's overhauled match review system has had its first test today, Robbie Gray looks almost certain to miss round one after his hit on Jeremy McGovern was classified as careless conduct with medium impact to the head, resulting in a 1 week suspension. The same incident last year would have received a 2 week suspension with the option of reducing it to 1 with an early plea. Now, while the base penalty has changed in theory, as KB brought up before, it hasn't really in reality. Of the 160 incidents that received a penalty from the MRP last year, 4 ended up at the tribunal. Will Schofield, you might remember, got his 1 week ban for striking Clayton Oliver overturned and played the next week. Luke Hodge lost his bid to overturn his tummy tap on Tom Papley. And Jack Redpath, well, he recklessly challenged his 2 week ban for hitting Phil Davis and had it increased to 3. The other one, Basher Hooley, was challenged by the AFL, not the player or club. So 3 of 160. Really, 2 weeks down to 1 still really means 1. The players and clubs shouldn't complain either. They now have a much bigger incentive to take the incident to the tribunal, given that they're not risking an extra week. I'm sure Patrick Dangerfield and Geelong would have liked that option when he was given a week for his hit on Matthew Kruse, but unfortunately for him, the Cats simply couldn't afford risking an extra week as they pushed for a top four berth. Now, that's not to say Gray and Port Adelaide should challenge. Under the new system, well, it's pretty clear he's lucky to have got just one. So, that's the news. My question to you is, has the new system passed its first test? Are you clearer now than you were this time last year? 94291116, your views on the news. 0433981116. We've got prizes galore to give away. We've still got heaps of double passes to the Melbourne Beer Fest this Saturday at Kitani Gardens in St Kilda. We've also got a 2-player pass to play at Bayview's golf course in Rosebud. Better than ever, prepare to be astonished. 94291116, Robbie Gray and his 1 week suspension. A lot of people, like KB, would argue that the base sanction has actually changed from 2 down to 1. But when you look through it, 3 of 160 last year only went to the tribunal and only one of those was overturned. I think the match review panel and the match review system is clearer than ever. Speaking of which, let's hear from Michael Christian, the new match review officer, and how they decided to look at Robbie Gray's incident.
His eyes moved from the ball to McGovern, and I think if I'd like to see if he was genuinely contesting the ball, I'd like to see his hands down contesting the ball rather than shaping to bump. Thought there was enough there where he elected to bump rather than genuinely contesting the ball, and then it came down to a level of impact. I think he had other alternatives rather than shaping to bump and bumping. And that's, as I say, I mean, I think that the option was there to genuinely contest the ball. He elected not to.
Your views on the news, as always, 94291116. Prizes galore to give away, 0433981116. We're also, because it's Monday, as always, going to be having our score review after the break. But before that, a man who's pretty well-versed to ask how Jeremy McGovern is going is his brother Mitch. He joins us on the line. Mitch, welcome to Time On.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me, mate.
Thanks for coming on. How is Jeremy? Have you spoken to your brother today?
Yeah, gave him a message last night. He obviously a bit dazed and dusted, but at the moment, he seems to be shaping up pretty well. But I was into him last night. I reckon we've had harder hits in the backyard, to tell you the truth.
Oh, you thought he's made the most of it, Mitch?
No, I just reckon that I reckon he's caught me a bit harder than that. So I was into him saying that he's done it to me a bit harder than that before. So.
And sometimes, Mitch, it's just where you get hit on the head. It's not just how hard, is it?
Yeah, sometimes it's not just the seriousness and just like the contact to the head, it can actually be where you hit. Like I think Jez got clipped on the jaw, so
yep.
And that is sort of a light bulb really switches him off. So a bit unlucky on the behalf of Gray, I think it was.
Yep.
that actually did get him. So I'm a bit unfortunate with that one.
Are you clearer, Mitch, as a player on what you can and cannot do than you were this time a year ago? Or is there still some grey area, pardon the pun?
Yeah, there's still a lot of, there's still a lot of grey with the MRP and the way that sort of the decision's made and what's right and wrong and where sort of the line sits. It's a tough one for the players, and I think the only way we can explore that is by playing footy and actually being in those sort of positions. So it is tough for a footy player considering the game's so fast and bodies and chaos going everywhere. So it's a bit of a tough one, but as always, the AFL and the whole committee has the board of judgment and obviously the duty of care of the players at all times.
Good to see you back in action over the weekend, Mitch. The JLT hit out. You kicked two goals. How was it being back out there for the first time since the qualifying final?
Yeah, no, it was really good. A long pre-season for myself, obviously missing out with the grand final. Like I said, I finished up with the qualifying. It was good to get out there and actually play against them, different faces and different bodies rather than the teammates the whole time. And it's good to actually be out on the oval in front of a good crowd out here in Strathalbyn, which is local country SA, which is fantastic. So it was, good to be out there.
How has the off-season been for you, Mitch, do you think, comparatively to your teammates who played in the losing grand final? Obviously, you were doing everything you could to get over that hamstring strain. Has it been different for you trying to reflect on the events of the last few months, given that you weren't able to play?
I wouldn't say the pre-season is. Obviously, missing out in that grand final that week was not one I would ever imagine myself to be a part of. But definitely the weeks after the immediate grand final, it was definitely very difficult for myself. Going straight into off-season, being by yourself and then your family and friends as well, rather than the playing group, which is normally there the whole time during the year to support you. So it was a tough couple of weeks, but as the pre-season goes, I've sort of started the exact same as us boys, obviously a bit hurt from the grand final not winning, but then also just knuckling down and getting back into it. So it's been good.
One man that certainly was good is one of your new teammates, Mitch, Bryce Gibbs. His first game for the club sends an ominous warning to the rest of the competition. He looks like he's in career best form.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think he's close to one of the oldest in our list, and like you said, he's in career best form, it looks like, early in the JLT series. So he's been training really well of late. He's had a big pre-season, which has been fantastic. He hasn't missed a beat. And I think we've got a lot to come from Bryce, and not only Bryce, but the whole midfield group that we have is quite amazing and fantastic to see.
Yeah, certainly his career best form, by the way, meaning that his last couple of seasons with Carlton was up there as well. Hard to be in career best form one game into the JLT. Hey, Mitch, I'm interested in your thoughts on, I know everyone at the club gets asked about Rory Sloane, but not just him. Your brother is also going through an interesting time with his contract and something that you know very well from last year. What can you pass any advice on to people like your teammates in Rory Sloane or your brother in Jeremy? Is that the best way to handle it, or is it horses for courses? Everyone's different.
Yeah, it's a bit of horses for courses. It's everyone's different in their own right. So for me, it was quite a tough and long negotiations with the footy club. Just the sort of situation I was in with potentially going back home or going elsewhere as an option. But for my advice, it's sort of a good one for Sloaney and I guess Jez as well. They're out of contract. They've sort of got an opportunity this year to sort of prove themselves that they're actually... we already know that Sloaney's a star of the AFL and Jez as well, making his mark. But it's just an opportunity for them to sort of put their best foot forward. But I think the contract negotiations is also something on the side. It's something sort of that can distract you, but I think it's a good opportunity for them to really knuckle down and focus on their footy, which is something that I found helped myself last year.
I was just going to say, Mitch, so you obviously saw it as an opportunity for you to give yourself the strongest possible hand going into negotiations. You looked at it the opposite way as something that might distract you.
Yes, exactly right. So I sort of saw it as an opportunity for myself. I was in the papers quite a fair bit in the news with negotiations and things like that, and I thought it was a good opportunity for myself to prove to the people that are reading in the papers and seeing my face a lot that I'm actually sort of worth sticking around for. So I saw that as an opportunity for myself.
So really, Mitch, if you can handle the pressure, then it's really in your best interest to not sign until the end of the year, the way that the game is going.
The way the game is going, it could seem that way, but I'm not the one to say that. but yeah, it could be.
17 minutes past six on Time On. Sam McClure being joined by young Adelaide star Mitch McGovern, who kicked a couple of goals on the weekend. What about the injuries, Mitch? How is Tex's foot?
Yeah, he's not too bad. Obviously, he's being managed this time of the year. Had a couple of hiccups just of recent, but we think he should be fine for upcoming few games. So he'll knuckle in, put his best foot forward, and slot straight back into the team where he belongs.
And just in general sense, Mitch, a lot of teams that either win grand finals or lose them often get asked about the resolve or the change in mindset, you know, the burning desire being taken into the next pre-season. Is it real or is it a bit of a myth?
It's a bit of a myth. Obviously, you have the heartache of missing out on that opportunity. As a footy club, we reviewed the grand final as we would normally any other game. And it's just sort of the opportunity now for the boys that we see to get back to where we were. So, and that takes a lot of hard work and a fair bit of time. So we're up for the challenge. So the boys are looking forward to getting stuck in round one.
Yeah, as are a lot of people keen to see how Adelaide have responded. Mitch, it was tough seeing you not playing the grand final last year. Let's hope you get another opportunity. And good luck for the season ahead and good luck for the rest of the pre-season.
Yeah, thanks, Sam, mate. Thanks very much for that.
Mitch McGovern there, a very open and honest Adelaide star in Mitch McGovern. Really interesting his take on how he found contract negotiations. He basically said he didn't mind seeing his name in the paper every week, and that if you can handle the publicity side of it, it actually is a better thing for you not to sign your contract early, like the position that his brother, Jeremy's in at West Coast, and like the position that one of his teammates is in Rory Sloan. If you can handle the pressure, have a great season, get to the end of year out of contract, and you have got the best cards in your hand, really. Now, 9429 1116, we ask this off at the top of the show. If you're just tuning in at 19 minutes past 6, as the new match review panel passed its test, stacks of prizes up for grabs. You heard Mitch McGovern say it was unlucky that Gray made contact in the manner he did and that there was still, pardon the pun, a grey area when it came to this stuff. I actually tend to disagree. I'm the most clear I've been on what the punishment for different things are. 9429 1116. Interestingly enough, Port Adelaide's assistant Brendan Lade was asked on Adelaide's 5AA this afternoon if Port Adelaide will appeal.
Ken and probably Chris Davies will sit down and, you know, with some experts, I suppose, in that area and see what they can challenge, if they can challenge it, if they can use precedents, all that kind of thing. And they'll come up with what they're going to do in the next 2 or 3 days and go from there, I suppose.
Would you appeal it?
I don't have much to say down there, Rowie. So he's an important player to our team, as everyone knows, and I'd appeal it and see what happens. Yeah.
I'd appeal it and see what happens. So if they were 9429 1116, if they were going to appeal, on what basis are they going to appeal? You couldn't appeal that it was high because he clearly got him in the head. You certainly couldn't appeal that it was medium impact because at the very least it's medium. If anything else, it's got to be high. So therefore, they'd have to be appealing on the conduct, that it wasn't careless and that he had a realistic alternative. I'm not sure what leg Port Adelaide have to stand on. Twitter poll currently running. 76% of you say Chris O has passed his first test. 9429 1116, still a stack of prizes to give away. And after the break, the now famous score review. What happened over the weekend that didn't receive enough attention? This is Time On. Thanks to Master Builders Training Victoria. Short course is now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au. And of course, the Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. On this lovely Monday evening in Melbourne, we asked a question off the top of the show before Mitch McGovern, which is a really interesting chat, by the way. Has the new MRP system, which is now an MRO system with Michael Christian, has it passed its first test? 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. Prizes galore to give away. Dom's in Reservoir. Hello, Dom.
Sam, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate.
Look, I don't think Chris has passed the test first up. Firstly, I think it's in a meaningless JLT game, I think it's mean-spirited to suspend a player for the real season, for the stuff that really counts. Mm. And secondly, having played footy myself for 20 years, I only retired about 5 years ago, if you're approaching the ball as Gray was in that situation, so the ball was going in his direction, and he thinks, I'm a chance to win this possession, and then suddenly in his peripheral, or in his periphery, he can see and sense a 110-kilo giant who's storming his way. He's about to be bowled over by, you know, a herd of buffaloes. You know, he can see he's coming. So I believe his action was simply a self-protection mechanism. And it was just a brace. So I think Port Adelaide should appeal this on the basis that it wasn't a reportable offence, being that it was all accidental.
No realistic alternative.
It wasn't a bump.
Yeah.
It was a self-protective mechanism, simply as a last split-second brace. Otherwise, if he picks up the ball himself, or if he grabs the ball himself, he's just going to get bowled over and probably injured himself.
So, Tom, you made 2 points, your second one being a really good one. Where do you draw the line on it being a split-second decision between when you're going to bump and when you choose to brace to protect yourself? On your first point, Dom, can I ask you this back to you? I think it's fair enough that you are suspended in the home and away season for an incident in the pre-season, because wouldn't it just, Dom, open up, you know, potentially a very poor situation where a fight breaks out, there's a strike, someone gets suspended for 3 weeks in a really nasty incident, but it carries over to the pre-season next year and he's allowed to play round one?
I'm pretty sure I specified that in a purely a football incident.
Yeah, well, now you're starting to split hairs again, aren't you, Dom?
Well, no. In a football incident, if it's accidental, an incidental contact, but if you deliberately go out and throw a haymaker, which doesn't really happen in today's game anymore, I think Tom Bug did it last year, but it doesn't really happen that often. Well, fair enough, you cop a suspension, irrespective of where you do that. But, I mean, I believe this is innocuous. I know the outcome. It's purely based on the outcome that Jeremy McGavin appeared to be knocked out and dazed. But Robbie Gray, I'm not a Port supporter, mate. I barrack for North. I'm just watching it just because football's back on. So I was sitting there watching it, and I was echoing the sentiments of the commentators, being Nick Riewoldt and Jason Dunstall, who said this is clearly an accident. He's about to win possession, and out of nowhere, Jeremy McGavin suddenly appears in his periphery, and he's just put up that bracing motion. Like when you go to bump someone, you approach the contest wholeheartedly, and you can see the momentum build up as you approach the contest. If anything, Robbie Gray sort of did make contact, but he wasn't the one going at full pace. It was actually McGavin coming in from the other angle.
Dom, appreciate your call. Have yourself a double pass to the Melbourne Beer Fest this Saturday at Katani Gardens in St Kilda. Sample from over 300 craft beers, ciders and spirits, food and live music. Yeah, you can just tell from Dom's call that they're trying to put together so many different elements into one set of rules. It's not an easy job. Andrew is in Bendigo. Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate.
That's good. Look, my view on it is, you know, I think Chris O's got a pretty tough job, but I don't think we'll really know, you know, if we like it or not until later in the season. You know, I'd like to think what happened to Robbie Gray will happen to the same, you know, the same incident later.
Different
in the
person,
year,
yep.
Exactly the same penalty.
Yep.
You know, I think consistency is what certainly what I think the public are after. And, I think Chris has done well on this one.
Andrew, it's a great point. What you're saying is it doesn't really matter if he's passed his first test. What we want to see is he's passed his 10th, 11th, 12th and 30th test. Congratulations, Andrew. Appreciate your call. Have yourself a two-play pass to Bayview's golf course in Rosebud. It's a lovely track down there now. Better than ever. Prepare to be astonished. Andrew and Bendigo, hold the line for that. Mark's in Backers Marsh. Hello, Mark.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm very well.
That's good. I think we need you apply some logic to this. We do play a full contact sport. It is a full contact sport,
yep.
Not even semi-contact. Now, you will get incidental contact, head contact at times. Incidental. And that's the category this falls under. And with incidental contact being basically accidental contact in a full contact sport, you know, it's basically, it's got to be play on, go play on, you know, no foul here.
Don't you think, Andrew, sorry if I cut you off, there has to be a delineation, a separation between what is accidental and what is careless.
That's right. But when you got two players going for the ball and you're allowed to protect yourself to a certain extent,
yep.
And there's no intention to go for the head, but you do get that contact that happens, it's got to be incidental, not careless.
See, what it all comes down to, and Andrew's trying to argue the same thing, it all comes down to whether Robbie Gray chose to bump or whether he was bracing himself because he knew he was going to make contact and whether he had a realistic alternative. That's ultimately what it comes down to. Frosty is in Burwood. Thanks for your call, Mark. Frosty's in Burwood. Hello, Frosty. Frosty, go ahead, mate.
Yeah, my opinion with all this, if you make contact,
yep,
that's it. Contact, no matter if medium impact, low impact, or whatever they want to call it, contact is contact.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I think once you choose to bump, and if you do get someone in the head, then, you know, you pay for the consequences. That's the system that we've ultimately had drilled into us the last 3 or 4 years, isn't it? And by the way, sorry, it was Mark the last call, not Andrew. Frosty, appreciate your call. In fact, you can have another double pass to the Melbourne Beer Fest this Saturday, Katani Gardens in St Kilda as well, the Melbourne Beer Fest. All right, time for score review. We do this every Monday. What happened over the weekend? In fact, it doesn't have to just be on the weekend. What has happened recently in footy, in sport in general, that you think needs to be revisited? We have got prizes galore. We've got more double passes to the Melbourne Beer Fest. We've got golf rounds to give away. We've got golf balls to give away. 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116. You've got to start your call or text with score review. I want to give you a couple. Let's start with Carlton. Now, this didn't happen over the weekend. I think it actually happened a couple of weeks ago when Kane Little, the new CEO of the Carlton Footy Club, joined Tim and Gary on breakfast. Take a listen.
I'd urge you and all other Carlton supporters not to judge that purely on wins and losses because they can be misleading. We've got a cracking young group, and I think everyone would agree that Soss and his team have done a great job at the draft. Sustainability is a really important word at Carlton and something that we're really focused on.
Don't judge us on our wins and our losses, say Carlton. That really grated with me because I think while the theory of the messaging is fair enough, so score review.
Score review.
Thank you. It grated with me because I think the messaging needs to be better, and I think that fans, this is not about Carlton, by the way, this is more holistically about fans deserve better messaging for their club. So, score review, instead of saying, don't judge us on our wins and our losses, I would say that Carlton's messaging should say, judge us on the difference between our best and our worst. If we go and beat Collingwood at the MCG by a point and play really well, and the next week we go up to Greater Western Sydney, we get belted by 90, judge us on that, because that's too far a difference between our best and our worst. That's my first score review. My second
score review
is this. I had to stop and listen when David King, who's one of the most respectable voices in footy, had this to say on Greater Western Sydney on Gerard Whateley's show with Kane Corns today.
And I think there's becoming a bit of a gap between their pointy end elite and then I know they're high draft selections, but they're 2 to 3 years away from really taking games by the throat. So if that gap gets widened by injuries to players like Setterfield and these types, then I think that their list comes back to the pack really quickly. I mean, their list is ranked fourth this year by Champion Data, which has historically been the number one rated list over the last couple of seasons. I just look at their list and I think not a lot has to go wrong for them to even miss the eight.
So, score review.
Score review.
That comment itself, I reckon, went very much under the radar. This is the team, let me remind you, that essentially at the beginning of last year, this time last year, was absolutely going to win the flag, no matter what, or at the bare minimum, it was going to be playing in the last Saturday in September. Now you've got David King, whose sole purpose in footy, if you like, is analysing these sides and going to watch them train. He's a great list analyser. And he said, on the back of the terrible ACL injury to Will Setterfield, that they're not far away from slipping back into the pack, GWS, in a list sense, and maybe a couple of injuries away from missing the eight. So they've gone from absolutely going to win the flag in potentially missing the eight if things don't go well. That's a massive score review in my eyes. This is Time On, thanks to Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au and the Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. It is Monday, which means it is time for
Score review. Plenty of score reviews coming through on the text. 0433 98 11 16. Stephen Canberra says, score review. Even starts his text with score review. I'm a Magpies supporter. Great win, girls. But how good were the Bulldogs girls to watch? That's the standard we eventually will get most of the time. I don't think enough has been made of how good they were to watch. Very good point. One of my score reviews I had written down was Brooke Lachlan scoring 7 goals over the weekend. Brad says, score review, my club's North Melbourne skills still look very ordinary. Hopefully it changes in the home and away. And Peter says, score review, how are wins and losses misleading? Coach surely could not defend himself and his tenure at the end of the year with this in mind. Peter, I'm with you. I'm not sure if you're a Carlton fan, Peter. I'm completely with you. I'm not sure how you can't be judged on wins and losses. I just think they've meant the right thing, Carlton. It's just completely come out the wrong way. Speaking of Carlton, they play in the JLT against St Kilda on Wednesday night at Icon Park. And it must be said, both sides have named pretty strong sides. Carlton, well, there's no Doherty. We know that. He's injured. No Alex Silvani. There is an argument as to whether he's in the best 22, given Carlton's tall defence. And for the Saints, no Billings, no Hickey, no Bruce. So no Billings, no Bruce. Very strong side for the Saints. By the way, you've got 4 top 10 draft picks, if you want to head down to Icon Park, playing on Wednesday night. Paddy Dow, pick 3. Hunter Clark, pick 7. Nick Caulfield, pick 8. Those two for the Saints. And the other Carlton player, Lockie O'Brien, pick 10. So you've got 4 out of the 10 top 10 draft picks from the last draft playing on Wednesday night, if you want to go down there and see. It's going to be interesting to see how those 4 fare. It is 14 minutes to 7.
Absolute disgrace they are. They're an absolute disgrace. Walking on a football pitch at Wembley, giving up, spineless.
Whew. He doesn't miss when he aims, Gary Neville. He doesn't miss when he aims. Neither does this man, Daniel Garb, Fox Sports football newshound, and he joins us as he does every week on Time On. Hello, Garby. What did you make of Arsenal in the League Cup?
Hello, Sammy. As Gary Neville put it, they were pathetic, but predictably pathetic. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, that may sound harsh, but they are 27 points in the rears of Manchester City for a reason, because they are just 3 or 4 levels below them, and I thought that's exactly how the game would transpire overnight. I mean, Man City are a level or two above the rest of the teams in the top 4. Tottenham are closer to Leicester in 8th than they are Tottenham, their rivals, in 4th.
Garby,
they are basically a mid-table team when you look at it that way.
Garby, it's not just the losses, and it's not even the score. It's just the way that they lose. And this has been a trend now under Arsene Wenger for too many years. I mean, it feels like a broken record asking this question, Garby, but how long does Arsene Wenger survive with results like this? It's not good enough from a side that is touting themselves as one of the best in the world.
Of course it's not. And I mean, it's the same story that's been going on time after time. This might be, Sammy, the season and the straw that breaks the camel's back, because they are set, unless they win the Europa League, and on form right now, you can't see them getting past AC Milan in 2 legs. This might be the season where they miss out on Champions League again, and therefore it breaks the camel's back, and the board says, well, hang on, now the money train's starting to run out. That was the saviour for Arsene Wenger. Mm. Top 4 season after season, the Champions League cash kept coming in, and we're winning the odd trophy, the odd FA Cup here and there. Now that's starting to change. Maybe that'll force his hand, but he's got 1 year left on his contract. And when that's been the case, he's always managed to survive because he has such power at that football club. But, you know, you speak to Arsenal fans, and those comments by Gary Neville, the majority of them, the wise fans at least, say they're not surprised by that. They say this has been coming for a while. They say we could have told you that 2-3 years ago. It's death by a thousand cuts at the Gunners. It's been happening just a little bit more every single season, and now it's being laid bare by a team that is just of such supreme quality in Manchester City on a big stage like that. Big stakes, desperate for a trophy under Pep Guardiola for the first time, and their quality rose to the top. They weren't even at their absolute best, and they still cruised past Arsenal. But obviously reward for them for a wonderful campaign. The first of definitely 2 trophies, because I'll take the Premier League crown as well, maybe 3. If they can win the Champions League.
Yeah, well, getting back to Arsenal, let's call a spade a spade. It was absolute madness when they agreed to re-sign Arsene Wenger, given what his recent results had been. Hey, Garby, what about the other Premier League match overnight? My boys, Chelsea, should have done a lot better than the result suggested. They had their chances. They took the lead through the superb Willian, who is quickly becoming one of the world's most underrated players. But yeah. Was it a more important win for Manchester United, or was it a bigger loss for Chelsea, do you think?
Oh, probably a bit of both. It was a typical Mourinho-Conte game early on. It was tight, and you could tell it needed an early goal, or it was going to be a pretty drab affair. And Willian provided it. I agree with you. I think he's been fantastic. He was so instrumental, of course, in that performance against Barcelona. But for Chelsea, it falls to either Willian or Hazard. At the moment, there's no one else who's helping out in the final third. Morata's out of form. Giroud's just joined. So when those two aren't firing, and Hazard was blanketed, Mourinho certainly targeted him. There's not enough players stepping up for Chelsea. And Lukaku stepped up for United. That was the story out of that one. Hadn't scored against the top eight teams all season long. Scored one, provided another. So United go back into second. Chelsea sitting in fifth. I mean, the champions could miss out on the Champions League because of what Tottenham did, of course, in the early game at Crystal Palace. Harry Kane delivering again. What an absolute quality striker he is. Just a world-class footballer in every sense of the term.
Yeah, Harry Kane has been very, very good. That's putting it lightly. And unfortunately, Garby, if you're a Chelsea fan, Olivier Giroud still has a little bit too much Arsenal in him. They've got to just train that out of him. Hey, Garby, before we let you go, Melbourne derby this weekend. It's been a mixed bag of results, I guess, for both Melbourne teams over the last couple of weeks. But I mean, what do you make of this game in the early days, looking ahead to it? Because there's a fair bit on the line in a strange way.
There is, and it's going to be interesting because City have been the more consistent team all season, but you still wonder if victory has slightly more quality, especially with City, of course, losing Ross McCormack and Fornaroli not back to his absolute best. But Daniel Arzani picks up the pieces. I mean, he is just an absolute gem, and his first goal was fantastic. Of course, the Melbourne City game changes when they go down to 10 men. And what a narrative it was when Neil Kilkenny, who was forced out of the club by Warren Joyce, scored against his old team. And he almost wanted to run to Warren Joyce's face. And weekend, it was great to see from his point of view, because he would have been through so much to score against the manager who basically didn't give him a chance in his eyes. Meant a lot to him. So that was an interesting story out of that one. But the victory had a really good win against Adelaide. Adelaide went down to 10 men, but the victory took full advantage, but they're up 2-0 before then anyway. Leroy George, what a footballer he is. Second best in the league this season for mine, behind Merzhievsky from Sydney FC. I think you give the edge to victory maybe just with the extra bit of quality and attack with the likes of Leroy George and Berisha. But the Melbourne City have been pretty solid more often than not this season. I think it'll be a beauty on Friday night and a really important game going into the finals, because a big stage, whoever can win that, they get a really big boost heading into, of course, the finals games.
Garby, as always, appreciate your time. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Sammy.
Daniel Garb there, the number one man you go to when you want to know about football in this country and abroad. Daniel Garb, of course, from Fox Sports. Still time for your late score reviews. This is Time On, thanks to Master Builders Training Victoria. Short course is now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au. And, of course, the new Holden Colorado LTZ. Big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. Dale Morris, well, news, of course, over the weekend that he has a partial tear in his ACL. The club and he hoping that it will be only 12 weeks. He spoke to Channel 7 tonight.
I was unlucky to get the injury, but lucky that it was only a partial. So it'll look like maybe a 12-week sort of stint on the sidelines. Yeah, and then it's one of those things. We'll see how it progresses. It could be more, it could be less. It all depends on how this settles down.
Dale Morris there talking to Channel 7. He kicks off Red Time headlines. Let's hope we see him again in his career. Western Australia in the cricket requires another 450 runs in their final innings to knock off Victoria in the Shield in WA. Warriors currently 1-for-19 midway through day three. Aaron Finch, the man we spoke to on Friday, top scored. Obviously, the chat did well in Victoria's second innings with an unbeaten 151. The Vics declared at 8-for-378. And finally, Channel 7 reporting tonight that Adam Treloar is the latest magpie in doubt for Collingwood's JLT opener on Thursday against GWS. Well, there is the siren. That's all for me tonight. Thanks for your input. We'll catch you again tomorrow from 6 o'clock.